All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'd like to look at verses 6 and 7, but after reading those two verses, I'll go back to the beginning and just come right up to it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. A believer in the Lord Jesus knows that he's in a world that is not his final home. And he knows that he's compassed about with trials, fears within, hatred, resentment without. And he truly desires some peace. He wants to. I hate confrontation. I hate it. I'll do anything I can to try to avoid it. If I can. Not to compromise on the gospel, but if it's possible, live peaceably with all men, especially those of the household of faith. A believer knows that the only comfort from the trials that he sees, trials within and out, is going to be found apart from himself. I can't comfort myself. I try to. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and think about something? It's always worse. It's always worse at night. It just doesn't seem to be any way of settling down. Tell yourself you need to, but you don't ever listen. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to consider, for just a few minutes, from the Word of God, spoken through the means of a man that actually walked with the Lord. Peter was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he heard the Lord speak. He actually watched him raise the dead and heal the sick and feed the hungry and quiet the storms. He saw, he watched him suffer on Calvary's tree as the Redeemer of God's sheep. He actually saw the Lord in resurrected glory actually speak to him. He saw him on the shore, saw him before in the room, and he actually saw and watched him ascend into heaven. And he knows that the Lord himself is God. And he's speaking now to some elders. That's what Peter's going to start off speaking. He's going to speak to some elders. And he says, 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker, a recipient of the glory that shall be revealed." That is, at his second coming. Peter believed himself. He believed himself to be a believer. Now here's one that has been taught. He heard, he saw, he witnessed. He's been taught by the Lord. He was taught something, first of all, of his frailty. The Lord said to Peter, Luke 22, I'll read this to you, 31-32. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." I said before, when making mention of this verse, when he said Satan hath desired to have you, he asked permission. He's desired to have you. Ask the Lord's permission to sift him, sift Peter as wheat. And the Lord had to give him permission, because the Lord hedges his people about. Nothing happens to God's people apart from his decree and will and purpose. He's desired to have you, sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when you're turned back, after you fall, after you succumb to what you're going to succumb to deny me, when you're converted, when you're brought back by power and mercy and grace, you strengthen thy brethren. I want you to confirm their mind of my sustaining grace. You be honest about it, and you tell them about what you are in yourself. And then you strengthen them. You tell them that I kept you. Oh, Peter said, I'd go to prison. I'll die for you. I would not. I will never. The Lord told him, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice that you know me. And obviously you know what happened. The Lord did. Now, but for the Lord's sustaining grace, Peter would have fallen. The Lord prayed for him that his faith fail not. He did stumble. He did fall. But the Lord kept him. Peter did return. He was brought back. He was kept. And now the Lord, having met him on the seashore, Tiberias, after he had seen what he is in himself, the Lord told him, Peter, you love me, you feed my sheep. Now you feed them. Now this is what I want to do this morning. I want to feed the sheep of the bread of heaven. I want to tell them again. I want to relate Christ, sustaining grace of God in Christ. I'm going to tell you about electing grace. I want to tell you about redeeming grace. I want to tell you about regenerating and keeping grace. I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell us all the truth, who we are. I want to feed. That's what he said. Peter, if you love me, you feed the sheep. So what does Peter start off saying? The elders which are among you, I exhort. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. That's what Peter's saying. Whom also an elder, a witness of the sufferings, a partaker. He says in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. What did the Lord tell him? You feed my sheep. What's Peter now telling the elders? He said, I'm an elder. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. Feed the flock of God. Being an example to them, an example of love and of kindness and forgiveness and doctrinal soundness. Be an example to them. And then having exhorted them, he speaks of the Lord's reward at his second coming in verse 4. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd, we're under shepherds. He's a chief shepherd. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by a preacher, by us. Be you reconciled to God. We're spokesmen. All I have the right to say is what the Lord says. And that's it. And so he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Now just for a second, let's just stop. A crown of glory. Now, the only way I know what that is to look it up. I might say, well, my crown, you know, I know what everybody thinks. It's this thing. It's, you know, the crown. Here's what the word crown means. A mark. It means a mark. It means a mark. A crown of glory. What did that word mean? What does glory mean? Here it is. God's opinion. I've told you that before. God's opinion. God's view. God's judgment. God's judgment for good toward his people. So this crown of glory is a mark. It's a mark. It's the evidence of God's opinion to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. What is that crown of glory? Well, I certainly don't want to speak out of character, out of turn, or just, you know, but I can tell you from the Word of God, I can tell you something about it. And I know in Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What was the crown of glory? Well, there was two groups that were standing there. There were some sheep on the right hand, some goats on the left. What was the evidence of God's mercy? What was the evidence of God's opinion toward those on his right hand? What was that crown of glory to them? He said, come. Here's the evidence of my mercy. Inherit. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you, that was given to you before the foundation of the world. There's, you know, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and that's where he was. He was at the judgment. You know, you will receive. You'll receive a crown of glory. So, not only did Peter give instruction to those elders, he's speaking to elders, but then he speaks to the group that was listening to him. This is what he said. Likewise, verse 5, ye younger, that is younger in the faith. Obviously, the elders were standing there, taught of the Lord, and they were teaching. God had raised them up, and they were talking to somebody. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Obey what they say concerning the Scriptures. If they don't speak according to the Scriptures, there's no life in them. So submit yourselves unto the elder as he's preaching Christ. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, clothed with humility. Do you know that word clothed right there? It's found one time in the Scriptures. Right here. This is it. Be clothed with humility. Now, again, unless we know what it's saying, we don't know what it's saying. The word clothed there refers to a strip of cloth. A strip of cloth that was used by servants when they would put their, called the girdle, they'd put on like a coat or something. I got a button right here, and I can fasten this right here with a button. Well, they didn't have a button. What they had was some holes, and they'd slip a piece of cloth through there. Close it up. They were clothed. But that word referred to one thing. It referred to being a mark of a servant. That word, clothed, right there. It meant the cloth used by a servant that distinguished them as being a servant, as being one who was a servant to another. And so Peter says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and put on the spirit of what you are. You're a servant. That's what Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus. I thought you were an apostle. He was an apostle. Paul said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my master. I'm his servant. Put on that clothed with humility. Distinguish yourself as being what you are. Try to elevate yourself. He says, yea, you know, verse 5, all of you, be subject one another, clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. God Almighty resists those that lift themselves up above others, and he gives grace to the humble, sets himself against and opposes the haughty and presumptuous, and he gives grace graciously blesses those that had been made by the Spirit of God to see themselves as what they are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That Almighty God from before the foundation of the world would choose me. Why? Corey, why? I know just enough about myself. I know just enough. I don't know the depth of my rebellion. But that Almighty God would choose out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue to show mercy to this sinner. That would choose to show mercy to me. Why? Here's the reason. Because it pleased him to do so. Wasn't anything in me. He didn't look down at time to see that I was going to be, you know, a mighty warrior and a prayer warrior. I'm embarrassed to even think of my prayer. The wanderings of my mind. That he would choose, that he would send his son, lay down his life for me. God resisteth the proud, thinking that you're something when you're nothing. Oh, but he giveth grace, already has and shall, to the humble. I know, we all struggle. God's people struggle with pride. But let me ask you this, that the evidence of being found to be humble, to be clothed with humility, and just say, I am a servant. I am a servant of the Lord. Wherever and whatever he's put me in, whatever position I'm in, that I'd be standing here. I'm only standing here by the grace of God. That you're sitting here listening. We're hearing the word of the Lord and submitting. But what is the spirit of one who is clothed with humility? Just hold your place and turn to Ephesians 4. Look at this precious passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to this evidence. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Oh, that God has called us to this vocation, to this walk, to be servants of the Lord, to be the recipients of his mercy, the vessels of his mercy. Walk worthy. How is that? How is that, Paul? Walk worthy with all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, being understanding, being patient, kind, considerate. And listen to this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I don't want to do anything that's going to be disruptive to the Lord's body. I don't want to do that. I just, God forbid that I do anything that would cause unrest. I don't want to do that. Be endeavoring. Be clothed with humility. There's not a believer that doesn't want to do that. So what instruction does the Lord have through the mouth of this man that learned something, that was taught something of himself, that just it was taught while he watched the Lord and walked with the Lord and saw himself for what he was, and the Lord kept him. I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Allowed Satan to sift him as wheat. I prayed for you. That just amazes me. The Lord was the Lord of glory, Neil, that the Lord himself would say, I prayed for you. I called your name, Peter, before my Father. And I besought my Father on your behalf. I thought, oh, Lord, pray for me. Pray for me. Lord, keep me. Lord, what do we do? Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Take the low place concerning God's providential dealings with you. Remember, Peter knew something of himself. I'll never forsake you. No way I'll do that. He said, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The Lord allowed Satan to sift me. That's what he said. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He allowed that. He sent that trial. He sent it for his glory and my good. That's what Peter was saying. He knew as all God's people, he knew he was proud. I'll never do that. I'd never do that. Yeah, I know you won't. Yeah. Here's the exhortation. Bear with patience every affliction of his correction. Acknowledge your unworthiness. Mourn over indwelling sin. Humble yourselves. Remember, it's his mighty hand that has taught us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that rules in heaven and earth. That hand that nobody stays. Nobody. I wrote an article here. I think I did. Or I thought it if I didn't. But I hope people that God was dealing with them, they said I held on to the pew and I just, my knuckles were all white. See that? It was just, I resisted God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Whenever God called, whenever he said to Matthew, follow me. Zacchaeus, when the Lord called under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time according to his purpose, you humble yourself. That Syrophoenician woman came to him and said, Lord, my daughter, he says, it's not fit for me to give the bread, children's bread, dogs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a dog, and I'll admit it. I'm a dog. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Humble yourselves. The Lord led her to that place, and the Lord leads us to the place where we are. Humble yourselves. That just be admitting, I am what I am by God's good pleasure. Humble yourself under the mighty hand that he may exalt you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How I read that scripture, and I want to do that. I have the hardest time casting all my care upon the Lord and then leaving it there. Do you? You that believe, is it not so with you? Casting all your care. I want to do that. All these things that burden me, you know, casting all your care. In closing, I want you to just turn to Matthew 6 for a minute. When the Lord, years and years and years ago, the Lord began to deal with me, this passage of Scripture was so precious, made precious to my heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 to 34. I was going through a tremendous, tremendous time in my life. I was in business, and it was back in the mid-70s, and going through a tough economic time. It was just a recession, and I was in business, and I didn't have any work. I had two employees, and I had to let them go. Gave them 2 months severance pay that I didn't have. Because they didn't have anything either. And I struggled. Oh, I struggled. I was desperate. I didn't have anything. And this passage of Scripture was made dear to my heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, oh, and I'd read that, and I thought, Lord, help me to do that. Help. I don't want to worry, and I'm worrying. take what shall we eat? Or where shall we drink? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathens seek, the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Casting all your care upon him. Now let me ask you something. Do we not think that he who has everlastingly loved us, his people, his elect, his church, his bride, who has chosen his sheep, his bride, in Christ, and sent his only begotten Son into this world to save his people from their sins, the one who is the surety, who has eternally stood for his people, made flesh, came here, lived for us, died for us, sent the gospel to us, sent us a preacher, regenerated us by grace and power, and prepared a place for us in glory in his Father's house, and promised to come back. Do we really think that he'll fail to give us something to eat? Or give us something to wear, or something to hang our hat? You think so? You think he'll, casting all your care upon him? Why? For he careth for you. He knows every object of his mercy, every vessel of his kindness, everyone found to be the recipients of his love and grace. He cares. He cares for you. Oh, may the Lord be pleased as he keeps us. Keep us from dishonoring you. Keep us, Lord, from being disrespectful to you by not believing you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Here's a word for an oppressed sinner. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. Why? That he may lift you up, exalt you in due season. Casting all your care upon him. Why? He cares for you. I've said before, for my children or for you that have children, if they were truly in need, what would you do for them? Everything you could. Everything you could. You'd do whatever you could. Why? Because you care for them. They're my kids. I got 4 kids in Tennessee and 2 right here in West Virginia. I'd do whatever I could for them. What about our Heavenly Father? Casting all your care, because he cares for you. He's not going to let us perish. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Lord, teach me that afresh. I need to learn it afresh. For Christ's sake and my good. Amen. Okay.